Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to catch you up with the news you should know about. Today, we've got yet another update in the legal battle to replace a Lackawanna County commissioner. And during National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Wilkes-Barre area's cheer and football teams raise hundreds for patient care. It's Tuesday, October 21st. Let's get you up to date. We'll start in Wilkes-Barre today. No Kings rallies brought out millions of people nationwide on Saturday to protest President Donald Trump's policies. In Wilkes-Barre, several protesters told police the rally brought out a man who threatened them. WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk has the details.
Wilkes-Barre police say a man driving a red Jeep with a Trump flag pointed a loaded handgun at two senior citizens during the downtown No Kings rally Saturday. Just before noon, police say 52-year-old Michael Kolarik of Scranton pointed the gun at two women in their late 60s. The women and others told police they saw Kolarik point the gun at them. Police pulled him over on Public Square and found he had two loaded pistols in the car. One witness gave them a cell phone video showing Kolarik holding the gun. Police charged Kolarik with making terroristic threats and other counts. His preliminary hearing is in a couple of weeks. He's out of jail on bail now. I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. Find the full story at WVIA.org. Now, as I mentioned earlier, October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Wilkes-Barre area's cheer and football teams have been hard at work raising money to support patients. So far, they've raised nearly $1,800 for the Cancer Wellness Center of Northeast Pennsylvania in Forty Fort. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane has more from cheer practice.
Michaela Evans is a sophomore cheerleader for Wilkes-Barre area. Her aunt and grandmother both fought breast cancer and went to the Cancer Wellness Center. They're both now in remission.
It's just me showing them that, like, and to the people who all had it, like, I care and, like, I want to take what I have and show them support of what they went through.
Cheer coach Jackie Rocha wants her team to focus on more than just their sport.
First thing that comes to mind is their student athletes, so being involved in not only, like, the cheering aspect, but also involved in the community.
The Cancer Wellness Center often works with high schools and sports teams. Its director is Tom Ruskey. He spoke with the cheer team during practice.
I love to see people who are involved in these sports teams who come together when someone of their members gets ill in any type, whether it be cancer or anything else. So just to educate them a little bit more on what someone goes through and how they can help support that person is really important.
The Cancer Wellness Center serves about 600 clients. Services include massages, facials, fitness classes, and more.
Part of what we want to do is relieve the stress and tension of a cancer journey. So part of our facility is literally like a spa for people with cancer. So we do an awful lot, and all those funds go to support those programs.
All services at the center are free to clients and up to three family members or friends. Reporting from Wilkes-Barre, I'm Lydia McFarlane, WVIA News.
Thanks, Lydia. Stay with us for more Up to Date after this break.
You know WVIA as your arts, news, and information station. It's time to add local sports to the list. Get ready for Sports Voices, a new feature where we partner with Fox 56 TV sports director Bob Ide to discuss the latest local sports news from around Northeast and Central Pennsylvania. We'll look ahead to the week's key games in high school sports, collegiate athletics, and more. Tune in to WVIA-FM at 7:51 and 9:51 a.m. every Friday morning.
Welcome back. Now we've got an update from Western Pennsylvania. A consultant hired by U.S. Steel found high-pressure water used in a maintenance procedure exceeded the valve's pressure rating prior to a fatal explosion in August. Two workers died in the blast at the company's Clairton Coke Works. Reed Frazier reports for WVIA.
According to the consultant's preliminary report, workers were using high-pressure water to flush a gas valve at the plant on August 11th. The report found the high pressure led to a sudden and complete rupture of the valve, resulting in the deadly explosion. U.S. Steel had previously used low-pressure steam to clean the valve, which was originally built in 1953 and refurbished about 10 years ago. The report found U.S. Steel did not have a specific procedure for using high pressure to flush the valve, but it found the company does have a procedure that it should have used to evaluate the change from low pressure to high. The company didn't respond to questions about why it had switched to high pressure for the procedure, but in a statement it said it's ended the practice pending review. The head of the United Steelworkers Union that represents workers at the plant declined to comment. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
Thanks to Reed Frazier for that story. And back to Lackawanna County now. It looks like the upcoming special election for Lackawanna County Commissioner may actually decide who replaces former Commissioner Matt McGloin. WVIA's Boris Krauchnyuk is back with more on the latest court ruling in the 8-month legal battle to replace McGloin.
The state Supreme Court ruled Monday that political parties can keep using a process in Lackawanna County's governing document to replace commissioners who leave office before their terms end. The court ruling means former county official Brenda Sacco could temporarily replace former Commissioner Matt McGloin, but County Democratic Party Chairman Chris Patrick predicted that won't happen. Sacco would likely have to give up her state job to become commissioner and would have to give up the commissioner's job once the winner of a November 4th special election is certified later in the month. That's according to lawyers in the case. She's not a candidate in that election. Sacco wouldn't talk about her plans Monday, but Patrick said he doubts Sacco would quit her state job to serve as commissioner only a month. County judges picked Sacco in September using the county home rule charter process. They said she can serve until McGloin's term ends in January 2028 or until an election takes place. The County Board of Elections decided in August that the election should take place November 4th, so Sacco can only serve until the winner is certified. The special election candidates are Democrat Tom Welby, Republican Chet Murley, and Independent Michael Cappellini. I'm Boris Krauchnyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. Find the full story and all of our coverage on this legal battle at WVIA.org. Okay, one last thing for you today. Let's take a look back at This Week in History with WVIA Director of Journalism, Julie Sidoni.
This Week in History, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world, October 20th through the 26th. We begin in 1755 in Snyder County. That's when John Harris, founder of Harrisburg, was ambushed near the Isle of Kew. Harris and some 40 men had come north to investigate the Penn's Creek massacre. In 1803, it's the week the U.S. Senate approves a treaty with France that ends with the purchase of Louisiana. The deal nearly doubles the size of the United States. 1966, the UK is dealing with one of the worst ever coal mining accidents in Aberfan. A wall of coal waste crushes a small Welsh mining village, killing 116 children, half of the town's youth, as well as 28 adults. And in 1973, after more than a dozen years of construction, the Sydney Opera House in Australia is finally open. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date. Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.